Who is king? You see, the question in today's scripture passage is just that. Who is king? The problem with that question, though, is that it's not a simple one. You see, the answer to that question should, in fact, be a very simple one. But in a world that is teeming with all kinds of political controversies and realities, many times in our world today, we see Democrats, Republicans, Marxists, socialists, communists, and the list can go on and on and on. They are screaming and they are shouting daily at each other, and we know who their king is. You see, it's the ideology and political power that governs their lives, and that, my friends, becomes their king, their leader. When we put so much into things of the world, and we have such great command of it, and that's what we want to say, and that's what we want to do. It's kind of sad in our world today that we get more upset over what's going on in politics than we do about what's going on in the life of the church. You see, ideologies, however, are transient. They are here today and they're gone tomorrow. From time to time, ideologies themselves change, as do their true believers, who move from one belief to the next. In other words, people are what my grandparents would say, they're a bit wishy-washy. They change at the drop of a hat. You know, people are not true to anything anymore. We have people who once said, oh, I'm a staunch Democrat and I'd never change. This is what I believe in. Well, in a few years, they become a Republican and run on another ticket. Same things happen the other way. Oh, I'm a Republican. You'll never get me to do anything else. This is how I'm going to vote. This is what I believe. Some years down the line, they do exactly the same thing. They change parties. They change things. They're wishy-washy. And for some reason, we in our world get a little bit more upset with them than we do about people telling us and standing and talking that there is no God. What's going on? You see, we change things at the drop of a hat. One of our best-selling authors of today is a prominent spokesperson for conservatism. He's made a statement that he has been duped, denounced conservatism, and has joined the ranks of liberalism. So people who were once as conservative as can be as now, they're liberal. The question, though, still remains to you and I in our word today, who is king? You see, Jesus was labeled king as a joke. Pilate gave him that name in order to point out just how foolish and irrelevant that Jesus was. Since that time, almost every generation that has come has wrestled with Jesus' role in their lives and in society. This is nothing new. It's been going on since the beginning of time. On Christ the King Sunday today, the church proclaims boldly, who is king? And our text today suggests that neither the nations nor their rulers are king. You see, the very act of following Jesus calls into question all of the political arrangements that were going on at the time. All political arrangements means even those that were enlightened arrangements we find in the United States. You know, we in this world are very fortunate here in the United States to live and work and serve in these United States of America. Yet we don't have the title, folks, on a Christian nation. We don't hold the title to Christianity. It's not ours. It belongs to everyone. So many times we see people get in that line blurred all the time. We hear it on TV all the time in politics. We hear it all the time people saying, oh, we're a Christian nation. Folks, we have not been a Christian nation in a very, very long time, if we ever were. We came and were founded on Christian principles years and years ago, but that doesn't happen anymore. We've done this to ourselves because we have been afraid to acknowledge and live as a nation that proclaims Jesus as Christ the King. You know, we'll stand up and take side for something that upsets us, for an agenda, a matter, somebody in politics, whatever. There's more mess on Facebook about politics and it just irritates me and I just flip it off. of people that get so upset and will just bless out their neighbor and friend, their family, because you don't believe like I believe. Well, you know, in this world we live in, we have the opportunity and the right to believe. And we have the right to an opinion. But that doesn't mean you're going to agree with my opinion, and that's okay. I'm not going to always agree with your opinion, and that's okay. We have fallen somewhere into cracks that we can't debate anymore, that we can't have a difference of opinion, that we can't say what's on our heart and mind because somebody's going to get upset about it and somebody's going to tell you off because they don't want to listen to your side and you don't want to listen to theirs. So you know you're right and they know they're right, so what happens? It's a stalemate. Nobody wins, do they? Nobody wins when that happens. You see, it's all in the world that day as it is in our world today. Politics plays a huge part, and it shouldn't. It shouldn't. You see, the political arrangement itself is not God, because you know what? God is God. The political arrangement itself is not mandated by Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus is Jesus. And Jesus cannot be reduced to political structures, cannot be reduced to something so small, cannot be reduced to something so insignificant, because Jesus is Jesus. Humanity is not the measure of things. God is. God created us as a great, wonderful being. But we have to put God first in that wonderful being, or we're just an empty shell. We find ourselves today in need of saving, and this saving will not come in any political arrangement. You know, I don't know of most anywhere, the only time that you're asked what you are is when you go to vote. That's about it. If you're a Republican or a Democrat, that's about what they want to know, so they can check the right box and they can give you the right paper. Other than that, it doesn't matter. When you get to heaven, it's what's Jesus going to ask us? Say St. Peter's going to be up there. We don't know. I don't think he's going to ask us. I really don't. What's your denomination? What's your affiliation politically? You know, we talked about this yesterday. You know, even though we are a part of the Methodist Church, and I believe a lot of the ideologies and things and the things that come down the doctrine through the Methodist Church, you know, I believe a lot of things in the Baptist Church too. I believe a lot of things that come down through the Presbyterian Church. I believe a lot of things that come down through the Episcopal Church. There's a lot of things, but I favor more the Methodist. But the thing about it is, that part of it's not going to get you into heaven, folks. It don't. You can be the best Baptist, the best Methodist, the best Episcopalian, whatever you want to be. That's not important. The important part is serving God and being a Christian. Is your heart changed? Have you been saved? You say, we find ourselves in need of saving, and this saving will not come in any political arrangement that is made upon this earth. You see, it is a mistake to give the kingdoms of this world our ultimate allegiance, and people have been doing that since the beginning of time. They owe their soul to England years ago. They owe their soul to the king or the queen. They owed their soul back in the Old Testament to different people that reigned and were horrible people that would kill them at an instant. But guess what? We don't owe our soul to a political arrangement. You see, it is a mistake when we give folks allegiance. Certainly, Christians have constantly been in conflict with kingdoms of this world that promotes slavery, child labor, discrimination, ethnic cleansing, and much more. Our list could go on and on because we do not hopefully believe in those things as Christians. We try to stand up and fight against them because there are countries that have no problem with that. And we ourselves, in some places in the United States, they don't have problems with some of that either. So we have to stand up as a Christian to what God would want us to do. Placing our ultimate allegiance in political structures only muddies the waters. You see, the church believes that the mocking sign above Jesus' head is no joke, folks. The mocking sign above Jesus' head is our contact with what is eternal and everlasting. Jesus is King. The church proclaims that in John 1:14, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that Jesus tells us also in Colossians 1:19, that all fullness of God was pleased to dwell. You see, in Jesus on the cross, there is a cosmic realignment of power. Things change, folks. They said whenever He died, what happened? Darkness fell upon the face of the earth. It thundered and it roared and the earth broke open, a great chasm, because it was being realigned. The powers were realigning. It remains today a very good question for you and for me. Who is King? Are world leaders King? Our text today calls for an answer. An answer to that question that only you can answer. Who is the King of your life? Who is King? And what does that mean to you? Who is King of your life? And what are you doing about it? Let us pray.